Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Mr. Newbie here. This is a message for Penny Fletcher. Lucy and Harriet have let me know that it is your birthday on the 14th of February, which just happens to be Valentine's Day. So, you know, Penny, not sure if you're around or anything, or if you happen to be doing anything on that day, what with it being your birthday and Valentine's, I just wondered if perhaps you fancied dinner at the Bull, or even the Feathers, or even the goat field behind the Bridge Farm tea rooms. I only mention it because Beverly Drains has told me that she's busy on the 14th. Regrouting behind her B-Day, I think she said. So, you know, I'm at a loose end and just a thought. Let me know. I mean, you've probably had loads of offers, so don't worry. I mean, I could even stand at the bottom of your garden and wave at you through the window if you like. Happy birthday anyway, Penny. And happy Valentine's Day. The offer's there. Anyway, yes. Thank you.
Penny Lane's in my heart and at the Bull. Oh, it's a nice birthday to have.
Yeah, I know.
Shall I go?
Yes. You're covering because you haven't got the script on.
No, I'm not. It's because I need this to happen.
Oh.
Yeah. Welcome to Average on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Mr. Newbie. Before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Phoebe not being pregnant and Kate being highly irritating. I love the way Phoebe said she was leaving Ambridge forever to go and live in Scotland on the basis of two job interviews with a startup that's likely to sink without trace in 2 years' time. I came back to Ambridge to be near you, said Kate, after I got bored of those other two ones, Thingy and what's it? Alice is back home in the vest and is coping marvellously. Amy and Fallon went round to watch her coping marvellously, and they all drank wheelbarrows full of tea very noisily just to show us it wasn't wine. Martha, who should have been in bed in my opinion, was standing up without falling over, which is more than Alice has managed in the last 2 years. On their way home, Amy and Fallon called in on Chris, unannounced, which is fairly high up on my list of unforgivable sins, to be honest. There he was, lying on the sofa in a T-shirt covered in Wopsit crumbs, breath like a badger's arse, drinking Lucozade from a rinsed out Nutella jar because he hasn't done the washing up for 3 days, and watching Wheeler Dealers when Pinky and Perky appear. Turn out shingles has the surprising effect of making you into a very unpleasant and rude git. But as is the case with women and men, the woman to whom he'd been very rude went round afterwards and tidied his flat. Not entirely sure that would have worked the other way round. Mia was horrified that Jake is going out with Chelsea, or possibly Tracy. Their voices are now practically interchangeable. Or even Vicky Pollard, particularly when she said she was an exceptional driver, but then, like, this thing happened and this person got a bit, like, run over, but not really, like, run over, but it was all right. And Kirsty was like, oh, no, I must talk to him. But he was like, no. And then he sent her this card. Phoebe went round to see old granny bags of cash about the fact that she's chucking in a job no one else understands to take on a job she doesn't understand. She assured Peggy that she would still be able to rewilderate from Scotland and would be passing on the whole project to Rex. Peggy, heroically resisting the temptation to grab around the neck and scream, are you out of your tiny Oxbridge mind, suggested gently that dumping the whole thing into the lap of a pig-keeping minicab driver who only got involved in the first place because he wanted to get into Pip's pants was probably not ideal, and could she think of someone else as well, perhaps? Kate thrust her hand into the air and screamed, me, 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 and Phoebe studiously avoided her in the manner of a waiter who is not yet ready to bring you the bill. Even Brian has now started questioning exactly how Kate is supporting herself. She is never near spiritual hummus, let alone realigning anyone's chakras. So no one, even as dreamy as Phoebe, would think she'd be a good candidate to run a rewilderating scheme. But then I suppose it does match up with Kate's skill set. Based on total bullshit, very unclear success criteria, no business model to follow, propped up by family money. Welcome to rewilding, Kate. May your compost lavatory never back up. Meanwhile, all of us at home, once we'd stopped crying at Krusty's frankly heartbreaking performance in a good way at the Garden of Remembrance, were screaming, let Krusty do it! Let Krusty do it! But then some of us were saying, Pip! Let Pip do it! Give the farm to Josh! Then Pip and Rex could get together and have little prexy babies. Admittedly, that would mean we had two families in Ambridge where there were very confusing daddy-uncle scenarios, but that has never stopped us before. Start unpicking the Aldridge family tree and it's like one of those medieval blockbusters that people leave in holiday cottages. Anyway, the real thrust of this week is how Charisma Bypass Amy is going to feel once Chris has moved her into the flat and Alice has started lobbing bricks through the window. I'd have thought he'd have preferred Super Amy, really, in her red corsety thing and shiny blue cloak, but no, he seems to prefer the sort of Amy that is really, really good with his daughter and does the hoovering, staggering, the end.
The anti-climax of Amy.
Do you like it when I spray here, Chris? Oh, that shower's a bit grimy. Are you a bit grimy? Want me to have a closer look?
Show me your hospital corners.
Literally couldn't be more awkward.
What did you think of this evening's?
Take me back, Lucy. Take me back. Where are we? I sort of listened to everything in one go again.
Okay. Well, no, just the going round for dinner at Chris's.
Oh,
and
God,
not having
actual,
a very nice...
the actual... Or... You're yeah. really good looking. Oh, you're quite good looking. Oh, am I? Oh, this is really. It was cringe. No, well, I mean, it had to happen, and it had to be that awkward.
Well, we could all see it coming, couldn't we?
Yeah.
This week was very much all of us going, knew it, I knew it, I knew it, all the way through.
But in a way, it's all sort of come about a bit quicker than I thought.
Yes. Yes, I thought, you know. At least let them actually get divorced before he starts hitting
or
another woman.
At least let her at least finish cleaning the flat, Chris. Because, you know, you've got to make her, you know, is she decent at it or not?
And also, can I just say, his mother is literally 6 foot below him.
As if what? Is she dead?
As if, you know what I mean, in the shop. As if she would not be up there.
Ew.
She no, not that.
It, no, ear she to the would, door. Ear
she,
to the door.
No, not even that. She would be up there every half an hour. Do you want a Lemsip, Chris? Have you had your paracetamol? Can I get some? And she would have cleaned that flat. There's no way she'd have let him get it into that state.
I agree, actually. I did think it was a bit weird, the whole how alone he's been with shingles.
Yeah.
Is shingles that catching? It's a bit like he had, like... mega COVID.
Well,
you know,
it's hilarious that in COVID they were all going to the pub. Someone gets shingles and there's a black cross on his door and they're all shouting, filthy.
It felt like
unclean, COVID, unclean.
COVID 2020, when, you know, like you were in tier 12 and you basically couldn't come out.
You couldn't
of your
breathe
bedroom.
Out without doing an LFT and getting someone to sign it. Yeah.
Food had to be like slithered under the door. Because I was like, if he's missing Martha, surely he would have asked Alice or his mum to bring Martha around. I found that a bit confusing.
Yes.
But then it was a good dramatic setup so that Alice could have all that good bonding time. So
yes.
I approve heartily.
I was listening to the sound of them all cooing over the sound effect and thinking, well, at least Harriet will be. I will put up with this bilge because at least Harriet will be happy that now little Martha... has got her mummy.
Because Alice is a perfect mummy now that she's done one half sleepless night.
Yes.
Just you wait, Alice, until Martha's teething and then you won't be so thrilled with yourself.
Or
anymore.
When she's a toddler who just looks you in the eye and knocks their drink across the floor and then laughs. You know. Yes, just wait for that.
Chris!
I've got a bottle of Smirnoff in my hand, Chris, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Yeah, yeah. When Martha throws her plate of baked beans at Alice, then things are going to get wobbly again.
Yeah.
But no, I appreciate that. And I did. What I quite liked was there was a sense of Amy. You could almost sense her being like, oh my God, I actually really fancy him.
Mm.
And but I know that this is slightly weird and wrong.
Well, like, she did sound a bit hopeful, didn't she? Where she said, so do you think there's no chance of Alice and you getting back together again? Because she's like, oh, what if, you know, because I need to know so I can go. He said there was absolutely no chance. So, you know.
Because I thought that Fallon would be a bit more, are you actually joking? You're going for a takeaway on your own with him. What are you playing at? But she was more like,
really?
Yeah, because I think Chris, I mean, I know he's now getting a divorce from Alice, but he's just come through quite a traumatic few months. He's just had a baby. His wife's an alcoholic. Is it the right time for Alice's friend to?
She's his friend too, though, isn't she?
But if I was Chris and Fallon, I'd be slightly worried about Alice's reaction to Chris suddenly shacking up with someone else.
Yeah.
Although it's totally fine, it's just quite a big thing.
To be fair, they did only have Chinese. Nobody's shacking up with anybody yet. That's just our printer hurtling forward through the months.
You're quite good looking for a man. Just as a friend.
And then Chris was like, poor Chris, because he was like, ew. And then he was like, oh, I can't not say you're not good looking. Now it's all weird. Oh,
I have definitely met women that are worse looking than you. That was kind of about as far as he got.
Who paid for this takeaway? Was it Leonard?
No, I bought it myself, actually. I'm a high-flying blacksmith.
Oh, you could shoe my shoes anytime, Chris.
What? Oh, when I said that, I didn't mean that to sound funny. You know, not shoe my shoes like that.
I didn't mean it to sound really sexual. Can I take my top off? I mean,
I think the problem is, Amy is the least sexual person I've ever. She makes Alan Bennett sound like Rhett Butler, you know.
I feel like we've only been nice to Amy in one episode and that we need to give her.
That's because they keep making the contrast between super Amy and boring Amy.
Well,
so dramatic.
Making her clean the flat was an
Yeah.
Because that made us all go, what?
Oh, please. Yeah.
Why couldn't she?
If she was at home, as if Chris would come round and say, OK, I'll tidy the flat for you. He'd have opened the door, said, Jesus, it's a state in here. I'll see you when you've got yourself sorted out. And leave again.
But also, what I have a problem with as well, if Amy was still midwifing, I would still love her. I'd be like, she's brilliant. She's my hero. But the fact, I have a problem with the fact that she's sort of just not even think, just sort of become a dog walker and is now living at home rent free and is like, oh my God, it's amazing. I can live at home rent free. And you're like, yeah, but you're living with Usha and Alan. You had this incredible opportunity. There aren't enough midwives and I know it's been really, really difficult in the last 2 years, but maybe you could think about, you know, your transferable skills instead of, I mean, maybe that's really unfair.
Maybe instead of pulling the babies out of the ladies, you could push them back in. How about that?
Or like just be on reception?
Yeah.
But I find
Alice. Alice went from being a nuclear physicist to an engineer, engineer to a wedding planner briefly. And then
Alice was a wedding planner.
Yeah, she planned Krusty and Tom's wedding.
Oh, well,
That was the thin end of the wedge, I think. That was where it all started to go wrong.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's very, your job, basically, never move to Ambridge if you want to stay in a good career.
Yes.
You can basically only, it sounds like you can basically only be in London, that's where Phoebe went for an interview, or Scotland.
Yeah.
If you want a good job.
And not even Scotland, it's like the Highlands, like as far away from everything as possible.
Yeah, but it's quite near Glasgow. It's in the Highlands, Dad, near Glasgow. It's like, quite a few hours from Glasgow, isn't it? why has no one actually said to Phoebe, and what actually is the job?
Yeah.
And what actually will you be doing?
It's like when she said to Kate, you haven't even asked me what I'm going to be doing. And she said, I'm sorry, darling, what are you going to be doing? And she went, and I thought, yes, not quite sure now, are we?
Seaweed. I'll just be like going around the beach looking at seaweed, taking photos, sticking bits of post-it notes on bits of A4, but making posters about seaweed.
Okay, that's a nature desk at a primary school. That's what she's doing.
Oh my God, that'd be such a nice job.
Yeah.
Such a nice job. I went to Kew Gardens on a school trip with Tibby's class.
I know, I spoke to you afterwards and I've never heard anyone sound so tired in my life.
I was so tired because I was a really good volunteer parent.
You were that really, you were running
really
up and down.
Engaging
all the hard to reach children.
I did. Yeah. Oh my God, I totally did. And I really annoyed, I pissed all the other parents off because I was so like enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Let's
do racing!
And one of the queue leaders, Mr. me for a teacher.
Oh, Harriet, you have won the good badge.
I was such an irritating little shit, but I really enjoyed it. I loved it so much. And they got like sticky like paper with like thing you ripped off a bit and there was a sticky sort of bit underneath, and you went around collecting bits and sticking them on this like leaves and stones and things and sticking them on. And I think that's what Phoebe's doing.
I like to think of her wandering down a little beach with a little, like a sandcastle bucket.
Oh, lush.
And that's it. She just puts little bits of seaweed in her sandcastle bucket. And then she takes it to Salil and she says, I've got some more. And he says, well done, Phoebe. And then she puts it in a tank. And
just put it under this microscope here, Phoebe.
Okay.
Can you see those little biodiverse little atoms of seaweed?
Yeah. No?
We're going to make like car fuel out of that.
Okay.
Oh, such a nice job. I really want to do that job. If I didn't have four kids, I'd do it.
Yes, of course you would.
But that's not been the week, really, has it? That's been the... Oh,
no,
God.
The week has been Kirsty and Tom.
But before Kirsty and Tom, what the hell? Mia and... What has Mia turned
Jake.
Into?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Mia. It was such a shame. She's turned into a dick, hasn't she?
She wasn't that bad, was she?
She was so... I know she was trying to be the annoying sibling, but she couldn't have been more annoying.
But then she did calm down.
What's
once
on
she
your
really...
phone? Oh, you're in love. Woo, a girl fancies you. Ooh, who is it? Oh, I'm trying to be annoying. Ooh, because no one fancies me. And then there's like no fish in the sea. But there are fish in the sea. What I'm saying is there's no fish in the sea. It's just a metaphor. And I was like, shut up. What drugs are you on?
But yes, and it's hardly like to be Sunny Delight, is it? Not with her track record. But I thought she did, when she realised that Jake was properly upset, she did manage to restrain herself from going, ha ha ha,
I
told
you
so.
She was really patronising because he was just trying to be, he was trying to shake it off and be like, okay, it's totally fine. Yeah. She said it wasn't a date. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God, are you really upset? You look really upset. Oh my God, she's such a bitch. Yeah, she's really loud. I mean, I know that like Mia has that insecure side, but I thought they could have toned it down.
I know, well, they've gone from making her sound like a very earnest, preachy Greta Thunberg to now being like one of the caller-inners on Saturday Swap Shop, which is really not what
it
you
was
know.
Like that bit they'd sort of like lifted from a CBBC kids show.
Yeah.
Even the dialogue.
It's Tracy Beaker. She suddenly turned into Tracy Beaker.
It was, but not nearly as cool as Tracy Beaker.
No.
Yeah, it was. I thought that was sounded a bit off, but I quite liked the Jake being introduced.
I just wondered if they were conscious that they'd made her too much of a caricature of the preachy teen. So they then tried to sort of bring it back, but they overdid it a bit.
No, but they've brought it. They haven't brought it back. They've made it
tons
worse.
Missed it and kept going. That's
the problem. She's a preachy teen and also a really annoying sister who basically sounds like she hasn't really got a life of her own. Which is a bit
something
sad.
I thought, gosh, how clever. They've actually got Jake and he really sounds like
Will.
But then I thought, Will's not his dad.
I know, but how much does he sound like Will?
I know, he does, doesn't he?
I forgot to Google, is Jake really Will's son in real life, as in the actor?
Yeah.
But then if you type that into Google, they go, what?
Can you just ask us for cat pictures? Because we know where they are. I don't know what you're talking about.
But he sounds so much
He really
like Will.
Does. Even his slightly raspy voice, yes, and this sort of intonation and everything.
I thought he was a really good character, yeah, actually.
I did.
Again,
I liked
nice,
him.
Different, you know, nice, yeah, distinctive voice.
Yeah.
He didn't sound like he was trying too hard.
And there was
a bit of
Nick in there as well. A nice bit of Nick where he sort of said he was quite brave. And she said, well, that's not a problem, is it, about going to the pub? And he said, well, I kind of would prefer it if it was just us. And I thought that was quite an assertive thing to say. And that's quite a Nick thing to say. Will would have just shot someone. But, you know, Nick was sort of...
He's clearly a nice boy,
yes,
isn't he?
Yes, yeah. Considerate and also...
Even when he said, and Will's kindly offered to pick up...
Yes,
up,
I
love you. Yeah. I love you so much.
Yeah.
Such a good boy, Lucy.
Yes, he's a good boy and he's kind to his mother. Well, he will be if she wanted, but anyway.
but wasn't the Kirsty and Tom...
oh, God.
...baby loss story amazing?
Really, really. And I've been warned as well by Twitter going, oh, my God.
Yeah,
and I think
they
got about 2 seconds into it and I was in floods, floods.
I just couldn't, it was just played so perfectly and written so carefully and judged so well, I thought. Because that is a difficult, especially when you're bringing it back after 5 years. I speak for myself, but I feel like we've sort of all forgotten that Kirsty had a baby. And I didn't know that the baby was nearly 24 weeks.
No, I didn't.
I don't remember her losing the baby so late on. I sort of just assumed they had, you know, a miscarriage at 12 weeks or an early miscarriage even. I just can't really remember. And so it was a real shock, like, hearing that, wasn't it?
And to hear Tom... Even the bit with Natasha beforehand, he came across really well where he said, yeah, no, I messed that up too.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that right. I couldn't even go and see the garden. I wasn't supportive to Kirsty. I've just fucked the whole thing up, basically. Yeah. And then Natasha's saying, I really think you should. And then Kirsty going, do you want to come this afternoon? Doesn't matter if you can't, you know, and all that. And it was just...
But
brilliant,
it was clever because they haven't meant, you know, because it hasn't been mentioned for 5 years. I can't remember the last time, you know, Kirsty being a mum has been mentioned. Because even when Natasha got pregnant, you know, I know it's early days, but, you know, Tom has, I assume, been, you know, like Natasha hasn't sort of gone, oh, you've been here before. And no, it was in the early days.
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he was
because
worried.
He was terrified that
something
was going to happen.
Yeah, that's true. But it was so so sensitively played, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so heartbreaking, Lucy. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It really, it doesn't often get me like that,
no,
but it really did. And I think it's partly because of, I just think she's such a good actress.
So good. They both were so believable, weren't they?
And excellent. It was, the script was by Katie Himms. So if you are listening, Katie Himms, which I strongly doubt, thank you, because it was brilliant. And also I had somebody message me today who said, I don't want you to say anything about it on the podcast, but, you know, name her or anything. But she said something happened to us, the same situation. And she said it really resonated with me, what she was saying. And
But that's the thing, is it? It's something that affects lots of people and in lots of different ways. And obviously people cope with that differently, don't they? But I thought that's why it was, I think obviously now there's much more awareness about losing a child, you know, and babies who if they come before 24 weeks aren't, they're not stillborn, they're miscarriages.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a baby at 25 weeks and he was a proper baby. And I had friends in hospital that had babies. Well, one woman fought for her child who was born at 23 weeks to be resuscitated, because they don't resuscitate at 23 weeks. But she fought, and that baby is now, like, happy and healthy, and you know, a 3-year-old now.
Yeah.
So it's really, really hard. And, you know, they are, you know, when he said that I could, his you know, his head fitted into my hand.
Yeah. Oh, don't, you'll start me off again.
I know. I'm sorry. But it was so powerful. Everything that they said was so powerful, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And just showed how important it is to, you know, for I guess for it's a difficult thing to talk about, isn't it?
Yep.
And I think when you hear Tom sort of saying, I just didn't know, he didn't really know what to do and he didn't want to see the baby, and then he, you know, and then Tom and Kirsty haven't talked about it since, but, you know, there was some good closure in their relationship, wasn't there?
My friend lost her baby at 30 weeks and she said that she could see people, friends, coming towards her on the pavement and they'd cross the road so that they could avoid her. Because they just didn't... She said, I know that they were doing that because they just did not know what to say.
I don't think many people would do that, though, because, you know, I mean, I assume that most people are sort of, you know, your heart just goes out to somebody, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Who's lost anybody. And
I think now the stigma of it is going, because it used to be, we don't talk about it, you know, it just went wrong. It was a failure.
Yeah.
It was a failure. It was a mistake. And you think, no, it wasn't. It was a person. Yeah.
Well, I suppose, a baby wasn't considered a baby, was it?
Until
it was a sort of screaming.
Thank
its lungs
God
off.
That it's being talked about now, though, and that, you know, because all the women that I've just had to go through and just not talk
but
about.
Also,
it's
so, as you know, Kirsty said, worse than losing your child is your child being forgotten.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kirsty said, I just don't want... And I thought, didn't you think Natasha... I thought Natasha played a blinder as well, because I think, like, for Kirsty... I mean, if I was Kirsty, when, you know, before she had seen Natasha, I was thinking, I literally can't bear it for Kirsty, because I can't bear for her to see Natasha's bump getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
But then... She was so brave to go round to Natasha.
Yeah.
And Natasha was so good, because I think as well for Natasha it's awkward because she wants to celebrate her bump and her babies and be happy. But then she doesn't want to say, you know, it's difficult for her, isn't it? Because she knows that Kirsty is...
Well, she said it feels wrong to be celebrating.
Yeah, exactly. But and so what's great is that they have, you know, talked about it now. And Kirsty said, I'm really happy for you. And...
Yeah.
Because it's difficult for both women, isn't it?
And the fact that she said, I loved it. I love the name Wren. I thought it was so
cute.
Lovely.
I know.
But she, when she said, I'm going to, we're going to give this to twins and tell them about their big brother. And I thought, oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
I know. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Kirsty's a mum. Oh, yeah. When Tom said, when he said, I said that your mummy really loves it. I was like, stop now. Can't bear it. But it's so powerful, isn't it? And it stays with you. And Kirsty has like come, I literally am holding her in my heart this week. Because, you know, even though she can be a right dick, she's so lovely and super and strong and and has been through all this. I know it's not real, guys. I know it's not real. But it just makes you, you know, I literally couldn't stop thinking about her. And I couldn't stop thinking about the Archers this week.
Yeah.
It's had such an effect.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And a profound effect on a lot of us. Obviously not, you know, for so many people, it's probably like, oh, God, another baby loss story.
Misery fest.
Yeah, misery fest.
But I think as well, because the writing was so good, nothing clanged you out of it. There was nothing that rang wrong that made you think, huh? And pulled you back out. You could totally be drawn into it.
It wasn't too tiptoey either, was
it?
No, it was just
it wasn't
sensible.
Mawkish. It wasn't. It was just two people talking about loss and sadness, and it was lovely.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done, BBC.
Well
That's
done.
What we
I did,
say.
And I did promise my friend who wrote a really good radio play about baby loss called Little Blue Lines, which is still available on iPlayer. I said I'd give it a mention because Jasmine Hyde, who's like a very... she's on the radio all the time. She's a brilliant radio actor. She's been nominated for an Audi or a Best Audio Performance.
Oh.
Just recently. Yeah. And it's a great play. And it's my friend's first radio play.
Wow.
And, you know, it's not everyone's cup of tea, is it? But so it's a very powerful play about baby loss. So it's called Little Blue Lines, if anybody wants to have a listen. And a good cry. Because it's not cheery. But it's funny. It's sort of, you know, dark humour, really, I suppose.
You gotta laugh even in the darkest times, Lucy.
It's funny though, isn't it? Even in your darkest, most tragic times, stuff can still make you laugh, and that's what's so incredible about being a human, isn't it?
Yes.
You could be at your very saddest, but
yes.
You could watch something and laugh, and then you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible.
It's a strange, you have a strange out-of-body experience where you think, oh, I shouldn't be laughing. There's what part of me is laughing at this? This is terrible.
I think I took a photo of, did I take a photo of someone's tweet? Someone, maybe it was, you know, at Rutherian. Oh, I can't remember what his name is, really. But somebody wrote, oh, this is awkward because I want to make a joke, but I don't feel like I can, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was like you feel like when it's a really sad storyline, you can't sort of post a funny tweet.
So anyway, that's the end of the podcast this week, buddy.
Anyway,
see you later.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Have a great weekend. Oh no, this was my funniest tweet of the week. I know we don't do tweets of the weeks, but I just really loved it. There's nothing to do with Kirsty and Tom. It's Wendy Pitt. She it really made me laugh. Amy talking with her mouth full is the most daring thing she's done in months.
What a lovely biscuit. Chris, you're very handsome.
Can I have another rich tea? There was a lot about the biscuit selection, but I actually missed... I couldn't remember what biscuits he had.
Oh.
There was quite a lot on Twitter about the biscuit selection.
Yes, I can't remember.
Okay,
I just thought...
We're not analytical, Lucy.
I thought, well, if you're well enough to get up and go downstairs and buy biscuits, you're well enough to clean your flat, you slob. That's what I thought.
Yeah, just go down and get some
rather than
sip.
Lying there flopping around waiting for a woman to come and do it for you. That's what I thought. Last word on the Tom and Krusty thing goes to Sarah Kellaway, who says, just a quick one to say bravo to the scriptwriters this week. Their portrayal of the Kirsty and Tom story was so well done. I love that they focused on Tom's side. It's rare we hear from the male perspective in these kind of things. And I think they did it beautifully. So many mums and dads out there with their own wrens, myself included, who sometimes feel very alone. I think this is an excellent tribute to them and a great comfort to know that there is a larger drive to break down the taboo of miscarriage and stillbirth. Thank you, Archer scriptwriters.
Yay.
Brilliant, Sarah. Absolutely spot on, yes.
And I think what it also shows, or I know we should probably move on, but that you know, 5 years has gone by, and I know it's not real, but I'd forgotten about Wren. We didn't know Wren was even called Wren, and that's what happens, isn't it?
Yep.
You do, and it's so important not to forget.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah. So anyway, I suppose, yeah, that all comes with awareness, doesn't it?
Yep.
But yeah.
Right. Now, on to
anyway,
Steve.
Cheers, everybody. Cheers.
Steve Parrott, who says, hello, rapscallions. As a follow-up to my encore enjoyment last week, in a previous life, I pretended to be a data analyst, making good money until people realised I was innumerate. However, I did learn how to do percentages. Cutting-edge data analysis or what? We don't know what you're talking about, Steve. Employing this knowledge, I can tell you that the current episode's encore took up 14.8% of the entire podcast. Or as certain newspapers would say with their scant regard for the truth, nearly a fifth. And it was gold, as was the play-out music. Again, thank you. Then he messaged us again, because he then carried on listening to the podcast, and said, you know, we were talking about children's birthday parties last week.
Oh, yeah. By the way, can you hear me eating a pistachio?
Yes.
Oh,
he said, for our first child's first birthday, my wife invited half a dozen mums and their circa one-year-olds to our house. I took the dads to the pub, and a few hours later, we returned feeling very jolly. This experience was never repeated. I bet he was sleeping in the greenhouse for about 6 months. Don't know what you thought you were doing.
Oh, she had a brilliant first birthday. Oh, I didn't see her. I was in the pub, but it was brilliant. I had a great time.
Ryan Dotson says, hello, you two or four. It seems to me that Febreze is not only foreign from vaguely everywhere, but is also rapidly descending into madness. Bless him. Not that I'd suggest either of you are to blame, but I do worry that Tom Peach may be the next to go a bit Harriet's guitar, which is to say, a few strings short of a chord. Oh, you're all lovely nonetheless.
Well, luckily for anybody, I haven't got my guitar this week. Lucy didn't allow it.
like I have any bloody control over what you do, madam. More letters from overseas. Rachel Thomas.
Can I just say, I've been thinking about Febreze. I don't think he is foreign, Lucy. I think it's all put on.
Do you?
He's like one of those, you know, like, he's probably from, yeah, I don't know, probably does like that.
But he's got one of brother.
Those, he's got one of those fake foreign accents.
Just no, I know where he's
exotic.
From.
Exotic. Oh, yeah?
He's from the People's Republic of Eurovision. Yep. Luxembourg, oh, yeah. Deep one. Rachel Thomas says, I just wanted to say thank you for the brilliantly funny podcast, which has kept me company on my commute for the last few weeks. Due to a hiccup in my app, I stopped downloading the podcast in September 2020. This meant when it jumped back in and suddenly started downloading you again, I had 16 months of episodes to catch up on.
God.
It's amazing how well I could remember the storylines and episodes. That is not bad, Rachel. We can't remember the storyline of the thing we've just bloody listened to, and it was only about 3 hours ago. Anyway, I've caught up now, and I'm looking forward to keeping up with more topical goings on in Ambridge. I'm in Stockholm in Sweden, having moved here from the UK in December, so you can count me as one of your international listeners. I have not got a picture of a swimming pool to send you, but here is a frozen lake with our local ski hill reflected in the icy water.
Ooh.
It's beautiful. Wow. It's really lovely. It is all blue and gold.
Should we put it on our Instagram page? Oh, we haven't got an Instagram page.
No.
Never mind. Oh, wow. Good. So can we go to Stockholm for part of our tour?
Yep.
Do you think anyone else listens to the Archers out there?
I don't know. And I finally got my act together, talking of people getting to know each other.
Yeah. Oh, well done.
I finally got my act together and spent an entire evening, because it was very... complicated trying to separate everyone's email addresses out from everything else. And got all the American people together and said, right, here you all are. Now sort yourselves out. I'm off.
Wow.
And they're all talking. They're all talking.
Wow. Did you do a group email then?
Yes.
Did you check that everyone wanted to be?
Yes, when they said, I would like to be part of the group sort of thing.
Wow, that is brilliant. So there's an American Ambridge on the couch.
Yep. Yep.
What did we call it again?
I called it a merry bridge, I think.
A merry bridge. Oh, Lucy, you're so good with words. So good with words.
I'm so good at talking and words.
A merry bridge. I love that. Oh, that's great.
And who
are they going to have a regular feature on the podcast?
Connie said, thank you for compiling this. I suspect I'm out on my own out here in the Midwest. Oh, somebody from the Midwest, get in touch so Connie's got a friend. Email is great, and I love the name of the group. It's fun to know there are other American Archers fans out there.
So this could be like a sort of like spin-off. We could have like a little spin-off show from America.
Letter from America. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, do you remember that?
Yes.
Oh, so nice. That would be great.
I could have listened to him reading the back of a cornflakes packet. He just had such a lovely voice and
gorgeous.
Delivery.
Gorgeous. But actually, well, let's spread our American arms.
Open our arms across the...
I mean, arms are very open out there anyway, aren't they?
Yes.
What I mean is, physically, let's open our arm. Whatever. Let's spread the word.
I think Harriet wants to snog you all or something. I think that's what she's trying to say.
I do, obviously, but I also want to spread. Let's get a big group. Let's have a bigger group hug out there if we can.
Yes.
Spread the word, brothers and sisters. Spread the word.
Oh, my God.
You were even dying to put... Well, wouldn't that have been embarrassing if that had accidentally played when we were talking about Kirsty and Tom?
Yeah. Yes, it would. All right, that's my nightmare for this evening. Planned out. Thank you very much. Super.
Aren't you slightly relieved we've done the Kirsty and Tom?
Yes. Yes.
Woo! I mean, I feel like it was a stunning and powerful story.
Yes, but I was worried I was going to cry talking about it.
You can't have it every week. And then, I had that. And then this morning on the tube, I was watching Queer Eye, the new series, and there's one which is called Snow White. And anyone who's watching the latest series of Queer Eye, oh my God, do not watch it on the tube on your way to work, because I went to work and they literally were like, are you all right? I had like black eyes and like it was so embarrassing. I didn't have any tissues or anything, so my nose was bubbling, and it's a corker.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very moving. Yeah. Anyway, so it's been a good cathartic week, really, hasn't it?
It has. A lot of
And today, I was working with a voiceover artist who was also a biodynamic farmer.
Really?
Honestly, he's basically in Phoebe's gang.
Yeah.
He's a voiceover artist, but on the side, he's a biodynamic farmer. I was like, I thought that only existed in Phoebe's head. But anyway, it's not like, it's weird, isn't it?
It's good. I mean, yeah, it's good, I think.
It's good, isn't it? This is the thing, it's good. I love the fact that people are just farmers. not necessarily normal ones, just biodynamic ones. I'll have you know.
That's all the planting at the full moon and stuff, isn't it?
How on earth did you know that? I'm so annoyed because I wanted you to go, what's that? That is, how on earth did you know that?
Well, because I like gardening and stuff, so I know about it.
Oh my God, I was like, uh-huh, how amazing. And then I was like, so is that like planting like flowers with vegetables?
Is it like really, really fast planting in a bio sort of thing?
Oh, is that like when you plant sunflowers next to tomatoes? And he was like,
No, that's companion planting.
Whatevs. It's the only one. It's what I read about in Kew Gardens, all right? With my Kew Gardens knowledge, I thought I was all
over. Oh, because
over
you're
it.
Now a teacher. I forgot.
Because I'm now a teacher.
It's Carmichael, Miss Carmichael.
But not only... I feel this is relevant because it's about agriculture. Mm. Not only is it what you said, but also it's based on Steiner principles. You know Steiner schools?
Rudolf Steiner?
Yeah. It's basically based on concepts drawn from him.
Really?
So that then blew my mind. And I was like, okay, I think we better just get on with our job now. okay, 1, 2, testing, 1, 2. Yeah, yeah, it's great. Well, my levels are great, thanks. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah, concepts drawn from the ideas of Rudolf Steiner. Anyway, so it's very interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good.
Thought I'd throw that in.
Thanks
anyone
so much.
Who cares? Anyone care? No, thought not.
As we have quite a few storylines at the minute that seem to have not stalled, but...
Oh, yeah.
There's because everyone's fairly settled. Like, Phoebe's leaving.
You're leaving me, Phoebe. Can't believe it. What did Gran say? Oh, she was nice. Oh, that's annoying.
Nicer than me? Yes, I thought so. Yes. but can you see any bit, apart from Chris and Amy?
Cramey. I just don't wait until Alice finds out.
Yeah.
She's going to pretend to be all fine about it, but she's going to be... I think Fallon's going to be cross, honestly. Watch this space.
Mm.
And maybe a bit jealous.
Because jealous.
Fallon's... Well, Fallon's now... also, poor...
Well, Fallon's
Fallon.
Now worried she's married to a vicar. She's totally taken this...
But she's... And she's got the fact that she's sort of on her own with her anxiety about it. Because everyone else is like, I literally don't know what you're talking about. It's totally fine. So she's like... No, I know it's totally fine. It is totally fine. It's totally fine. I know. But she's, I felt a bit sorry for her, actually.
Well, no one's, you're right. No one's taking it seriously.
No.
And the only person that would probably is Jolene. And she'd just go, oh, you'll be fine, darling.
Talk to my friend Scooby. Yeah. She's good at that sort of thing. Anyway.
Scooby, not Scooby.
Oh, Scooby.
He's not a dog.
Fancy a Scooby? Fancy a quick Scooby around the back? Got some good stuff. It won't cost you either.
That's what it sounds like though, doesn't it?
Look it up in the Urban Dictionary, see what it means.
Do you mean that you can't see any threads sort of coming
back
to tie together?
No, it's like, is there going to be a big, are we going to have a big sort of avalanche now of new storylines because they've all sort of...
Yeah, I feel like that. Are there any threads that need to be... So I was thinking... Yeah, we haven't heard about Rex and his pigs for a while, thank God.
Shula and Neil, that's kind of
just disappeared.
Yeah.
Totally disappeared. Shula being a vicar. Is she one yet?
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, who cares? Well, that basically Harrison's
going to... I was going to say, she better get a wriggle on or Harrison will be there before she is.
She's going to be all over Harrison now.
Can you imagine Harrison being Archbishop of Canterbury with his mitre on wonky?
Harrison, I wondered if you wanted some lessons in vicaring. Hey, that'll be nice. Hey, but why do we have to do it naked? Is that a little
trick Alan taught me.
Sorry. Oh, my God. Sorry. I always get it. Why do I always just sort of... Why does it always end
it's
like
It's your
this?
Natural inclination to take
it
things
is.
To the gutter, Harriet.
To the gutter. But not even to the gutter. It's not dirty. It's just silly. Silly,
silly,
Lucy.
Silly. Well, it's because silly, you hang around with three-year-olds far too much.
Exactly. Exactly. Now I'm a teacher.
Yes.
So I know I can't. I just can't think. Well, what about... Oh, I know. Thingy's going to be a nurse. Tick. Pip. They need to move. They need to sort the cottage out.
Who do you think is going to take over the rewilderating?
Well, Ovs. Obviously, it's going to be Roy. I mean, of course, who else could it? This is perfect. And I think it's nice.
But is it Krusty or Pip, though?
No, Krusty, of course.
But
of
because
course.
We were all saying, actually, Josh is much better at running the farm, could she not do the rewilderating and then Josh take over Brookers?
Why would they have had all this sort of closure with Wren and, you know, like...
Yeah, if Krusty wasn't going to make a new start.
Krusty needs a break, and this is going to be her break and her fresh start.
I was
and
thinking,
she's going to marry
Krusty's 41, isn't she?
Well, I'm much younger, actually, but I feel like we're similar in age.
I feel like we are. All right, then. So she could still have a baby?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if she wants one. Mm. But I know what you mean, because you'd sort of feel like the natural progression would be she does the rewilding, her and Rex are a very easy pairing, aren't they? And they try and have a family.
And I think that they are an easier pairing than Pip and Rex, because we can't have two brothers sharing a child again.
I think the Rex-Toby triangle has died down a bit as well,
yeah,
hasn't
okay.
it? Yeah. Yeah, because it would be nice to have a brand new, fresh love story. And yeah. Kirsty needs some love in her life.
How
at
old
moment.
Is Rex?
Oh, maybe he's quite a lot younger than Kirsty.
Because I thought he was.
Oh. Yeah, but Kirsty's very fine for her age.
Very fine.
Very fine. She a fine lady. She know a lot about the land and the country and birds. I feel like Rex is like 36 or something.
Yeah.
I think they can make it work. I mean, okay. I don't know where I got that. I'm just literally guessing.
Plucked a figure out of the air.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter because age is nothing on the radio, is it?
That's true.
I mean, look at Leonard and Jill
well,
for
yes.
a start.
Yeah, but Leonard's her carer, though, isn't he?
Oh, I know. I thought Peggy sounded good. Peggy is... She sounds younger and younger.
I know.
Every time they get her on.
I bet the Queen I bet the Queen listens to Peggy thinking, how does she do this?
Yes, but the Queen hits her in with... It's hard to speak because you've got plums in your mouth.
Oh, but Peggy is getting more
Hello,
and more...
Hello, is that June Spencer? This is the Queen. I'm just ringing to say, get off my patch.
Thank
I'm
you
the Queen.
Much, dear. Oh, yes, dear. Soon Peggy's just going to talk like this. Very good, dear. Very good, dear. That's the only thing I can say about it. Very good, dear. She always says, dear. Very good. She sometimes rolls her R like a proper old-fashioned person.
Just to clarify as well, because I got a bit confused. First of all, I forgot that Krusty was living with Roy.
Me too.
So I thought, where are we? Because she seemed to be, I thought, is she in the bath? Because there was a lot of splashing. And then I thought, she must be washing up. I don't know what she's doing.
I thought, why is Phoebe her confidant all of a sudden? And then, of course, they live together.
Yes. So, will that be weird then when Phoebe leaves and then it's just Roy and Krusty in the house? No.
Oh, so maybe Roy and Krusty are going to get together, which I
Well, people have been predicting that for
ago.
A decade now. And
yeah, but
no
because
signs.
It hasn't happened, it feels like... because it has never happened, it feels like it shouldn't have happened.
I think she's too. I think Krusty's too smart for him.
I do. I love Roy.
Plus, he just thinks the countryside is a big housing estate with no houses on it. So you know, they haven't really got much in common.
I think she needs someone who loves a Jay as much as she does, and can recognise, Robin Pooh. As opposed to blackbird poo. She needs someone with that amount of
someone who knows about biodiversity.
She's who knows what a biodynamic farmer is.
I mean biodynamic. She's my ideal woman, clearly.
Maybe she'll marry a biodynamic farmer.
Or
maybe Rex could become... Oh you! Yeah, yeah. Would you like to marry Kirsty?
No, she's a bit cryy.
I'd really like her as my proper mate.
I'd like to marry Jimus.
Oh, God, really?
Yes, and then
he'd
we could
be really
read
good at, he'd be very good at the Wordles, but he'd be too snobby about the Wordles. He wouldn't do them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind marrying Harrison, actually.
God, it'd be like marrying a toddler. And you'd have to keep reminding him to brush his teeth.
But he's so nice, isn't he?
Don't rub snot down the back of the sofa.
Come here, you. Oh, big cuddle. Oh, yeah. Get me trunching out special. Yeah, I'll definitely have Harrison, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm left with Krusty and Jimus, a woman and a pensioner. Brilliant.
Maybe Krusty and Stella would be a good coupling.
Yes. Yes, I could see that. I don't know. I still don't even know where she lives. Not that I'm desperate to find out, though.
Oh, yeah, she hasn't she doesn't live anywhere yet.
No, she lives in the bird hide with Thingy.
And I know, but you're totally right about the fact that there needs to now be... because I feel like Alice is... That'll just be a simmering storyline now. We don't need to stress
Well, it will
so
now move on to focusing on the triangle between Amy, Cramey and Alice.
Yeah, so there's going to be Amy, Cramey. There's going to be that storyline, but it's not. That's not too. And then there's going to be Harrison's storyline, and maybe something. Maybe there's going to be. When is Rob coming back? Because and Joy hasn't been in it for a while.
No, and we don't know what's happening with Lillian and Justin either. Oh, one minute they had 87 bazillion pounds that they must spend on something absolutely at once, this minute.
I didn't tell you, Lewis, I spent it on a hat. A very big one.
It's huge. I can't see Justin. It's lovely. And
Lizzie and Vince will get married. There'll be a wedding this year.
Ah, do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, because they'll have a brilliant wedding, won't they?
Yes.
I think they will get married.
Yeah.
Because everyone loves a wedding.
Oh, and Lily can take over the farm. Now she's done her evening course in running...
Running stately homes. Running acorn fields of stately homes, wasn't it? Something like that.
I once got told off at a stately home. And I say this as an unashamed National Trust member, can I just say. For leaning up against a wall.
Oh, God.
An outside wall. Oh, I wasn't like leaning up against some. Yes, I wasn't.
It wasn't a gilded wall.
Nope, it wasn't. I could understand if it was like some, 16th century wallpaper that was going to fall off the wall as soon as you looked at it. It was an outside wall.
A brick wall?
Yeah, a stone wall. Yeah, of a castle. And
oh,
I thought, look.
Did they think it was going to fall down?
Yeah, well, I thought, that's nice that you obviously think that me leaning on it is enough to knock the whole bloody thing over. It survived the Normans. I think it will cope with me leaning on it. Thank you. Bloody hell.
Oh, that's a job's worth.
I know.
Have you tried to sit on a chair before?
No, then, because they keep putting thistles on them now, so you can't.
No, it's so naughty. Have you ever removed one and sat on it? I have.
No!
See, Lucy, we really are edgy.
I am telling. And you are in so much trouble now.
No, it annoys me that they've
You've
put
eaten your last
them.
Scone, Harriet
All they
Carmichael.
Need to do is say, please don't sit on the chairs.
Yeah.
Instead of putting silly little willies on there. Maybe they didn't have a willy on it. That wouldn't stop me from sitting on it. Probably. They just have a naked man sitting on them with an erection. Oh no, you're fine. I won't sit. Sorry to interrupt.
We strongly recommend that you sit on these chairs, and then everyone will go ah! and run away from them.
don't mind me. I'm meditating, thinking over. Being a vicar.
My life is Jesus. Jesus of Ambridge. I was once in a stately home, National Trust House, and the door flew open to this picture gallery, and this little boy came galloping in, literally galloping. He'd obviously been pegging down the corridor. And he just skidded to a halt, looked around, and his little shoulders sagged. He was only about four, and he went, oh, not more house. And he just looked so disappointed. His mother said to the father, take him outside and make him run round the gardens. And when we looked out the window, there he was, hairing up and down the lawns with his dad. And I thought, that's what he wants to be doing, not looking at pictures where everyone looks the same, for crying out loud.
Unless there's like a kitchen, that's got fake food
yes.
and a fake banquet and a lady
painted
dressed
bread
up as a cook,
then it's quite boring.
Yeah, it is. And you say, can you imagine what it was like? They're like, yes, we've watched horrible histories. Anyway, can we go out now?
Don't touch that curtain. Don't touch it.
Look, the lady's looking. The lady's looking. And there's the people, the people that have to get dressed up. The poor buggers, you know, the ones that have to, like
I'll
you said.
That's what I'll end up doing. Yeah. Voluntarily, of course. I love it. I'll be a teacher.
They get that slightly panicky look on their faces when they suddenly realise that there's far too many children and they don't actually know what to do with them and they can't control them. While all the middle-class mummies are standing around saying, no, go on, Toby, you can do it. Go and show the lady. Help the lady.
Go and ask the lady an intelligent question about being a...
Do it in Latin. Do it in Latin. Go on.
About 16th century poultry.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's made of plastic.
Oh, dear. We need more Elizabeth in our life.
Yes.
Don't we?
Always.
Need to hear a bit of Lizzie soon.
I really want something nice to happen for Kate. Not too nice. I take that back. Something interesting happened to Kate.
Yes, I want more Kate. And we haven't heard about... Because I really like her and Jacob. I like their relationship.
I thought there was a strange bit of self-awareness from Kate this week where she said, I drive everybody close to me absolutely mad. I am late. He hates it when I'm late. Everybody hates me because of the things I do. Anyway, there we are.
But that's me all over. Do you remember when I was 40 and I asked everybody to tell me exactly what they thought of me? Go on. That was the best episode ever.
And everyone sort of went,
no, I
really?
Want you to be truthful. Tell me truthfully what you think of me. Oh, for God's sake. I hate you all. Yeah, we haven't heard. There hasn't
Was that before or after she punctured the bouncy castle with her high heel while rogering
Toby? Oh, my God. I'd forgotten about that. That must have been when the Fair Bros... came in, were first arrived. Yes, it was probably around that time.
And he put the contents of a rattle bag in the pool, didn't he? At Brian and Jenny's.
We need more of that.
Yeah.
Drama going on.
Yeah,
good times.
The thing is, they tend to do a bit of, you know,
comedy.
Things tend to happen in the summer. The big, you know, the big parties, the big romantic-y things tend to happen in the. Oh, you're right.
It's fine. I'm so sorry, I just choked on a bit of ice. Sorry, anybody. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. There's no alcohol in it. It's just tonic. Honestly.
Do you want to go sort yourself out?
Hang on.
Have a
good chug of water. As you were saying, Lucy, sorry. Sorry about that. I'm so sorry. Take two.
All the festive things tend to, not festive, but all the gala things and the naughty things tend to happen in the summer, don't they?
Yeah.
D.H. Lawrence, where everyone starts ripping their clothes off and running around hayfields.
It's a bit, we can sort of guess, can't we? Because there was like, you know, they had that shit, nothing happened week. Then they had comedy week last week. And then they had sensitive, powerful week this week.
Next week it'll be like that episode.
Blair.
Do you remember?
Be boring.
Do you remember
boring.
That episode that none of us could really believe had happened? When
there's been many.
Yes, I admit I'm not making it very specific here. But when they... somebody's cat went, Peggy Hilda. Woolley's cat Hilda went missing, and Joy had watched a programme about animals communicating to talk to each other. So her and Tony went round the village talking to people's cats, trying to get them to tell other cats that Hilda Ogden was missing.
Oh my God.
Sometimes you look back at these episodes and you think, did I dream that? Did that really happen?
But I suppose you've got to write so much.
Yeah.
The trouble is, I suppose if you're a scriptwriter, you've got the big storylines, but then you've got to have so much content
filler.
Around it, haven't
filler,
you? So
filler,
much
filler,
filler.
Filler, filler.
And everything can't be big or comedy or some of it has to be mundane, but even the mundane has to be interesting.
But this wasn't mundane. This was insane.
Just weird,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was,
yeah, surreal.
It was like a psychedelic dream.
Yeah, sometimes they are, aren't they? Yeah. I think sometimes there's a scriptwriter who just takes mushrooms every and they're like, they call
him. And then just
him,
sits there at their keyboard going, yeah. bashing out a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe he thought his cat was talking to him at the time. So.
Yeah, maybe there'll be a bit of that next week.
Oh, well, something to look forward to.
Yeah. And there'll be a lot of sort of biscuit stuff and shop. Going, yeah, you know, antic. They'll be...
And a lot of
I love you. I don't love you.
Sexual tension.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, Amy will get her sex game on. Oh, maybe we'll hear a bit of this.
Oh, bad enough when she had a mouthful of food.
Oh, I've really fancy you, Chris.
Oh, sorry. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. So much to look forward to.
Should we do a bit of script?
Oh, yeah. We've got lots of lovely Patreons, Lucy, and they've all asked me to do a song for them. But because my guitar is being tuned, I'm saving it for next week.
Okay. There is another reason for this as well. It's not just about Harry's guitar
being tuned. It's not just me.
I suddenly found, because I'm not very good at this stuff, I suddenly found a whole wadge of people who I'd never said thank you to who have been giving us money, and it's just been sat there because I didn't know it was there.
Oh, my God.
So,
it's like we only picked out a few
Yes.
people.
So I feel I've suddenly discovered a whole bag of birthday presents that I'd never said thank you for. So I'm getting them all together, and you're going to have a song of that's going to make Hamilton... look slapdash, right?
Who's writing the song, Lucy?
You.
Can Matt Rodriguez Bain write it and just send it? No, I definitely will.
Yes.
Yes, come on, give me.
So, yes, so you will be thanked, whether you want or not. And it will...
They've probably been like, oh, thank God.
I think we slipped past. I don't think they noticed. No, no.
Can we get a refund? I wonder if you can get a refund. No, you can't.
No.
You can't get a refund.
If we do a dodgy show 1 week, you're just stuck with it. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
That's
Lucy are having a finance meeting.
Yeah, you've said we are. I haven't said yes. I just laughed heartily when you suggested it, as we are two of the worst people for finance ever in the history of ever.
That's why we're going to have a finance... We're going to see what big potential we can come up with for the podcast.
Right.
I said we were going to have a play, didn't I?
Isn't that strategy or something?
We're going to discover what we can really do when we really put our minds to it.
Mm.
And maybe pay someone to produce us for a week.
So basically, you'll have a really professional show 1 week, and then it will all go back to being the normal bring and buy sale that it is the rest of the time.
Those are the weeks that we can then put together and send them to all those podcasts.
Oh, I see.
You know, we're going to we want to enter. Okay. If anyone wants to enter for us, that'd be great.
Yeah, just put it together. Say what you like. It doesn't matter.
We need some PR. But maybe don't send them any of our material.
Just say, just trust me, it's really good. Don't listen to it.
They could listen to the encores at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, which is apparently a fifth of the show, according to Steve.
Yeah.
Right, look at where the little thing is flashing.
Oh, sorry.
Have you got off to go and choke again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Docs. Okay. And now let's tune in to BBC Radio Borsetshire and have a listen to Fabrice's Drive Time show.
Radio Borsetshire. Oh, the man on reception. Yes, yes, I like him too. He look a bit like a Timothy shower gel, I think. But he has funny trousers. One day I said to him, Oh, now? Quick, Jolene, we are alive. Put down your lip glossy. Hello, this is Fabrizio Felpisham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today, it is nearly Valentine's Day, which for some of us can be full of flowers and diptyque and sexy pants, and for some of us can be a damp squid. It is especially difficult when you have been with your special one for a long time, as then you are too busy being cross with them for leaving a towel on the floors to remember to be all sexy pants. So here we have Borchester's sexiest lady, Mrs. Jolene Archer, who is going to tell us all how to bring the romanticness back.
Ah, hiya, Fabrice. Lovely to be here. I thought I might sing a song that really sums up...
Maybe later, thank you. Now, you are an entertainer and a celebrity, and most of all, a very attractive lady who has had a long and happy marriage to Ken Holm. How can our listeners keep their love live alive? Keep being sexy.
Well, I think it's just down to making an effort. Put on some perfume, show a bit of cleavage, and walk with a wiggle.
Oh, that is good. And would work also for the women, I think. But it is domestic life that makes everything all very unsexy and recycling-y. It is very difficult to think about romanticness when someone has got sticky marks on your dado.
I put mine in the dishwasher, to be honest, Febreze. Just gotta remember to take the batteries out. But it's a valid point. It is tricky to combine everyday life with romance. But if you reward chores with some cheeky treats, then that makes them much more keen to get involved. For example, if Kenton puts his megaphone down, he might get a little lap dance. And if he does dinner... then something even better.
Oh, that is very good ideas. You are very slim considering you live with a Chinese chef. I would be eating his prawn balls all day.
A Chinese chef?
Yes. But now, that takes me to Valentine's food. I was in Marksy Sparksy and it was all Valentine's gâteau and Valentine's steaks and even Valentine's sausage.
Yeah, I'd recommend avoiding anything that's going to make a mess of your outfit, like noodles or spaghetti.
Oh, but there is the little doggies on Lady with Some Tramps sucking the spaghetti. That was very romance.
Yeah, but they were dogs. It's not so romantic when you've got Dolmio in your fringe.
Oh, I know what that is like. I say to Declan, oh, pasta sauce. Yes, I see what you mean. Now we come to specific advice. We have had a letter from a listener. Dear Febreze, I love your show and think it is the best show on Radio Borsetshire, and it should probably be longer, and you should definitely have your own car parking space. Well, thank you, nice anonymous listener. You are very kind and correct. Then he say, I am older than my boyfriend and he is always very busy and like to go to party nights and drink cocktail and rubber nights and watercolour classes and these things, but he only work part-time. I work full-time and have a very busy job being fashion and style guru and on my shoesies all day. So, when I get home, I like to sit down with a small glass of wine and some crispies and watch someone being murdered. And the cross woman police has to work with the silly man police, and then he realizes he loved her and they stop caring about who did the murder. But he say that this is too old and middle-aged. I get worried when he go out to rubber night and watercolouring on his own, but I have my friend Grey, round, as he also like to watch a murder. Should I stop having my friend around and try to make myself stay up until 3 a.m. dancing with men who smell like hot water bottle? Is my relationship on a rock? Love from an anonymous person. Oh, he have not give his name.
Well, Febreze, I think your correspondent is kidding himself. You've got to be true to yourself. Making an effort is one thing, but spending every evening doing what you hate isn't being true to yourself now, darling, is it?
Oh, that is very correct. I will tell the correspondent this.
But to be honest, drinking wine and eating crisps isn't going to make you feel very energetic and romantic. A sexy body is a sexy mind, Febreze.
There is nothing not sexy about this body, Miss Thingy.
We weren't talking about you, though, were we?
And also, I imagine that eating Ken Om Chinese food all the time is going to make you smell very of ginger and five spices, so don't you be telling me Febreze is not sexy. I smell delicious all of the time.
I don't understand why you keep going on about Chinese food. Can I do my song now?
No, Febreze is upset. Press the button now so that the strange man can tell everyone about cars on the bypass. Goodbye, everyone. Happy Valentine's Day.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze and Jolene. This week, we need to... Oh, I thought we weren't thanking anyone.
No, we're not, but I didn't have time to take it out before you started it.
This week, we're not going to bother to thank anyone.
But, clearly, we haven't thanked loads of you for the last 6 months, so, you know, there we go.
But if you do want to thank you in 2025 and would like to be a Patreon, you get access to freebies and stuff. That's what the script says. If you visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level and we will love you forever.
You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at on Ambridge. That's really at on
yes,
Ambridge.
Yes, I know. Well, that's what's annoying, yes. Isn't it? You have to say yes. At. Or you see, can, it's quite hard.
It is quite hard. Or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch at gmail.com.
So that's it. And thank you. Oh, that's not her. Who can't do her?
Who
now.
Is that?
I don't know. I don't know. Usually,
she
I
sounds scary.
Kirsty is my go-to voice because I just have to lower it and put an accent on, but can't do her now. It's because she's been are we? That's it. Thank you. I can't do anyone. I'm just going to do myself. Oh, I'm gonna insecure now, Lucy.
You could do both of them. Kirsty sounded like Kirsty, and Joy sounded like Joy. It was so, Joy, wasn't it? You weren't trying to do Brian or something.
Jennifer. That's it. Thank you so much for listening and have a lovely week.
And to play us out, we have a treat for anyone that remembers French and Saunders' in-house band, Raw Sex. Here's the Raw Sex version of the Ambridge theme tune, courtesy of our own in-house band, Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Thank you, Matt. Are you ready for this?
Can't
it's
wait.
Really good. Do you remember Raw Sex?
Not really.
No. Too young. I know. I love that. I know it meant nothing to you because you don't remember it, but Raw Sex were hilarious.
Did you request that then?
Yes. No, he actually suggested it, and I just went into this total 1990s reverie of French and Saunders and remembering how much I fancied Roland Rivron and Friday Night Live and Roseanne and all those, and it all just came back in a big whoosh.
Oh, so that
as soon as
is...
I heard that Bon Tempi organ.
That Raw Sex one is your my Pride and Prejudice.
Yes.
Because yes. I went on SoundCloud the other day to have a listen. I just needed to listen to Pride and Prejudice / The Archers. I usually just actually pause it when it gets to The Archers. But I just like to listen to it. And then I'm like, yeah, I've had my fix. Thank you. Thanks, Matt. Excellent. And if you'd like to like and subscribe, we'd also be super grateful. And please do leave us a review, even if you've already reviewed. Do you remember I'm on a mission to get us 500
reviews
for February?
How are we doing?
I think we're on about 129.
Okay, that's quite good.
We're getting there, guys. If anyone would like to leave a review, we'd also be super grateful. Thank you.
Can I leave one?
I think we can. I think we're allowed, actually.
Okay.
I mean, you could just write... It's fine, but as long as you put the 5 stars, that's what really counts. Yeah.
Can I just put
listenable?
It makes me tired, and then put 5 stars.
Just if you like that sort of thing, 5 stars. Or just put the 5 stars. I think you have to write something, though, don't you?
Okay.
You can put 5 stars and then just put a question mark.
Well, if you see 5 stars and the word bum flaps, then you'll know it was me.
Just put 5 stars Raw Sex.
Okay.
Yeah. Meets Pride and Prejudice. That would be quite a good podcast, wouldn't it?
Right. That is
and
it.
And then what's this at the end? There's like a script.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Is that for another? Is that for
no?
Another
that
thing?
Is a secret special thing that you must be shush about.
That I don't even know about. Are we doing it now?
Yes.
Ooh, this is exciting.
But now we have to say goodbye to the nice ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
Say goodbye to the nice ladies and gentlemen, Harriet.
Goodbye, nice ladies and gentlemen, Harriet.
We do love you, Mary Poppins.
We love you, Mary Poppins. Can we go, Mary Poppins? I do like playing in the park, Mary Poppins.
Bye!
Bye-bye!
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.